Session number 26589, Hugh Grant Dalton, a very short reel 6.
I'm sorry, Hugh, can you just explain what three shifts means?
Three lifts from...
Three lifts.
Yes, from Berlin, from Wunstorf, which is just near Hanover, to Berlin and back. That's reduced to three. The actual flight, we used to go up and join the corridor from Hamburg to Berlin, into Gatow. We only made one approach. We couldn't get down. We went, had to go back again. Unload your... We were carrying petrol in the Tudor, which meant that there was a big tank in the fuselage, and all the escape hatches and everything were open. Ventilated as much as possible. The other I'm losing thread now. Yes, we did three of those at a time. We had various aids, of course. We had GCA, which you probably heard of it, ground control approach.
Yeah.
Well, that was something the RAF had got going before the end of the war. They had it at Manston, I think, and one or two other places. They had that going at Gatow. They also had it at Heathrow. And, in other words, it was radar positioning in poor weather. We also had a landing aid called BABS. Using, you've heard of Rebecca Unica?
All this is new to me, Hugh.
Ah. We had it on in 38 group. You see those aerials on the side there?
These are aerials sticking out from the side of the that is
the
a
nose.
That's
a double aerial.
That's a Horser glider.
No, that's a Stirling. There's a Horser.
Oh, so it is.
Yeah. You've got another set of aerials over the other side.
Yes.
You transmitted a signal. And there's a beacon on the ground which received it and returned the signal. You would measure the time difference. And the earlier ones only were operated at about 10 miles radius. But in civil flying, we used to have them in BOC, it operated up to 90 miles. And there was a distance measuring equipment. But if you were doing a blind approach using that, instead of having a blip, you had a vertical time base. And you had a blip each side. You could gather roughly the direction by the size of the blip. But if you were doing a blind approach, you put the two together. You could do that. And you could get it down to about a mile. You could,
yes.
Which we used to use sometimes. Very useful.
Was it stressful work flying into Berlin?
Yes. The other thing that these were used for, the underground had their devices. So we used to use Rebecca Eureka when they're hanging onto a DZ. It was only about 10 miles, I think, as far as I can remember.
Which might account for the many times that you were successful in your logbook, refers to. Yes.
So it helped you to find that in the dark.
After Berlin, you carried on with what one
after
could call...
After Berlin airlift, normal civil flying at BAC, Yorks, Argonauts, DC-7C, 707 BC-10.
So you flew jets at the end of your career?
Yes. Far preferred to fly the BC-10 than the 707 Max.
Why was that?
Well, it was easier to control in crosswind, 707, the BC-10. There's always the possibility of scraping a pod, the wing goes down a bit. One of the outboard pods. There was also what they call the runaway stabilizer. The tailplane. The early ones, anyway, there's a wheel down by the pilot's side here. And if you had a runaway, you had to grab that wheel, but your hand doing so. But on the other hand, from a commercial point of view, the 707 was better. And the VC-10, of course, is much noisier.
Yes.
On takeoff, landing.
Which is a major factor.
Particularly these days.
Yes. When did you retire?
72. Because I had what was known as a heart block. I was taken ill in Boston in the States. I chose the right place to do it, actually. And, which I was taken into Massachusetts General in those days, and I had a pacemaker fit. And that was that.
Well, it's worked really well.
I've had a pacemaker ever since. I'm due to go into for a battery change fairly soon. The early ones lasted about, had a lifespan of about 2 years, I think, which meant that you, actual fact, you had to go in after about 18 months or something like that. And I also had problems in the actual sighting of the unit. It started to come through the skin on more than one occasion, which wasn't a good idea. But now the lifespan seems to be about 10 years for the batteries. And they're smaller.
Hugh, can I just say thank you very, very much indeed for contributing to the Sound Archive. It's been a fascinating morning here going through your material, which, as people who are listening, who will listen to this, have not been able to see it. Hopefully we'll take some copies which will accompany your tapes when they're finally lodged.
I've got a video to show you.
But I would just like to say thank you very, very much indeed.